The Lawmakers. This is a report on the people who make your laws, members of the state legislature and the Congress. Each week at this time, we bring to our microphone two lawmakers from Western Michigan to share with our listeners their views on public policy. For this seventh transcribed broadcast, our guests are State Senators Carlton Morris of Kalamazoo and Creighton Coleman of Marshall. They will be interviewed by the Director of Public Affairs for the Fetzer Broadcasting Company, Dr. Willis Dunbar.
A good many people are interested in one particular piece of legislation that was passed this week by the legislature. I'm referring to the passage of the bill permitting the coloring of yellow oleomargarine, which had been forbidden under state laws for a great many years. Senator Morris, would you give us a little description of what actually happened in regard to this particular bill?
As you know, some 190,000 signatures were placed on petitions by the people in the state of Michigan, initiating by petition the passage by the legislature of legislation in regard to permitting oleo to be colored yellow in the state of Michigan. Under this initiatory petition, it was necessary for the legislature to either permit the coloring of oleo as specified in the petition within 40 days from the time that the petition was presented to the legislature, or in the event that the legislature failed to adopt the legislation as requested by the petition, the matter would have been put upon the ballot in the spring election and left to the people to decide as to whether or not they desired to permit the coloring of oleo. The opinion of the legislators was unanimous that if it were left to the people, that they definitely would approve of allowing oleo to be colored. Inasmuch as the desires of the people appeared to be so clear, it seemed rather useless to actually present it to them with the accompanying costs of election. A further reason for passing the legislation was because of the fact that if it had not been passed by the legislature itself, and then had been passed by the people, it would have been virtually impossible to amend or enlarge upon the oleo legislation without a further vote of the people. As it remains now, it is possible for the legislature to make further enactments to actually protect not only the farmers, but the consuming public from the sale of oleo without properly packaging it in some manner, so that there will not be a fraudulent sale of oleo for butter.
And how do you feel about this oleomargarine business, Senator Coleman?
I agree with Senator Morris, and I believe that the enactment of this bill by the legislature was of real benefit to the dairy and farm interests. As the matter now stands, this legislature, or any succeeding legislature, may enact very stringent and protective measures to see to it that oleo is not sold as butter.
Senator Coleman, I understand that you are one of the members of the Senate Labor Committee. Now, much has been said about the Bonine Trip Law. Doubtless there are some amendments that are going to be made in this Bonine Trip Act, and I wonder if you would tell us some of the problems and some of the possible changes.
Certainly. First, I would like to state that one of the remarkable developments has been the lack of any aggressive move to completely repeal the Bonine Trip Act. It is very likely that both labor and management will try to gain their objectives simply by amending the present statutes. Three amendments, among others, are being discussed. It seems possible that general agreement has already been reached to amend the Act to provide that a strike can be called by a majority of those voting rather than a majority of the bargaining unit, which is the present provision of the law. It is clear to many legislators that few of them would be elected if they had to obtain a majority vote of all of the possible voters in their district. In case such amendment is enacted, every effort will be made, of course, to ensure a large number of voters at any strike election. A second amendment, which probably has general agreement also, is the providing for absentee voters' ballots. For instance, it is clear that it might be very difficult to get together a majority of the members of a transportation unit, such as an intercity bus line, at any one time. Perhaps the most contentious amendment will be whether compulsory arbitration in the case of public utilities should be provided. As it will be remembered, last year the Supreme Court invalidated the former compulsory mediation features of the Bonine Trip Act. Talks are being held throughout the state and particularly in Lansing with labor and management groups on this matter. This time, the Labor Committee is in effect holding its hearings first and writing the bill afterwards, rather than, as usually the case, writing a bill, crystallizing positions, and then holding hearings. The primary attempt in all of these amendments, of course, will be to provide a two-way street to make all provisions fair, reasonable, and clear.
Senator Morris, do you have anything that you would like to say on the subject of labor?
Yes, Doctor, I do. I would like first of all to state that I am very favorable, although I am not on the Labor Committee, to the ironing out of difficulties between management and labor through mediation wherever possible, which is, as I understand it, what the proposed Labor Act will intend to do. While I am very favorable to mediation, I would like to point out that I definitely am not in favor of action which involves goon squads, breaches of the peace, and other similar violent and unjustifiable conduct. I sincerely hope that when Senator Coleman and the other members of the Labor Committee report the labor bill out on the floor, that it will, in the first place, make it possible for labor and management to exercise every possible means of coming to peaceable agreement, and at the same time, prevent both management and labor from such violent activity as I have already indicated.
Senator Morris, I understand that you are chairman of the Veterans and Military Affairs Committee of the Senate, and I wonder if you would care to make some statement in regard to veterans legislation.
I would be very happy to. I have, up to the present time, met with many veterans representatives of both organized and unorganized veterans groups, and it seems to be the consensus of opinion on their part that as far as benefits for the veterans in the state of Michigan are concerned, that they are presently being furnished. One of the main problems which is confronting us at the present time is the question of bonus claims. As you know, $270 million was appropriated for the purpose of paying bonuses to the veterans of the state of Michigan. Up to the present time, some $214 million of that sum has already been distributed. In the process of so doing, however, there are many claims, some 4,000 of them, which have been denied by the Adjutant General's Department, and which are more or less lying in a state of inactivity in the Court of Claims. It appears that some additional legislation will be necessary in order to expedite the hearings on these questionable claims, so that those which have merit may be heard and paid. You might like to know, Doctor, that the average amount of bonus that has been paid to the veterans of Michigan has been $360 per veteran.
That's interesting. I believe, Senator Coleman, that you too are a veteran of World War II. Is there anything that you would care to say as far as veterans are concerned?
I think the veterans of Michigan can feel very secure as far as the Senate of the state of Michigan is concerned, both because every member of the Veterans and Military Affairs Committee is himself a veteran, and because it is headed by its very able chairman, Senator Morris. You might also be interested in knowing that nearly 600,000 veterans have already received bonus payments in the Michigan program.
Well, now we've been hearing recently about various proposed amendments to the Constitution, which originated in the Senate. And since time is growing short and we have only a few minutes left, I wonder if you gentlemen would care to make a few short remarks on the amendment which would lift the 15 mil limitation in regard to bonds for the construction of new schools and other capital improvements. Senator Coleman, will you say something on that?
I'd be very glad to, Doctor. Joint Resolution D, which covers this matter, was proposed because the education authorities found that they would have to pay 3 to 4% to raise funds for school construction and capital improvements, as compared with 1.75% in Ohio and other states. The proposal is to take all limitations off the raising of capital funds for schools, so as to save approximately $18 million on the contemplated $300 million school program. While this resolution passed the Senate, because it limited the voting to property owners, it has not yet been passed in the House, and there is considerable doubt that it will be passed by the House.
Well, now, Senator Morris, would you care to say something in regard to the amendment which would materially change the amounts of money that townships are presently receiving from the sales tax?
Yes, I would, because I was particularly interested in that bill. The purpose of the amendment, as it was introduced, was to take all of the money which was presently going to the townships and distributing the township share to cities and incorporated villages on a per capita basis. When I began to think of what this might do to such townships as Kalamazoo Township, which according to the last census had some 16,000 people in it, I began to wonder whether or not the proposed elimination of township monies was a good thing. I found that in the past year, Kalamazoo Township had received some $125,000 as its share on the sales tax diversion. I also found that Kalamazoo Township needed more money than it was getting. I immediately began to talk with other senators who had districts in which there were such large townships, such as Senator Coleman has in Battle Creek Township. Outside of Wayne County, there are only some 30 cities with a population of 10,000 or over, and there are upwards of 9 townships with the population of 10,000 or over. There are, of course, many incorporated villages with only a population of, say, around 1,000 people. In view of the fact that such small incorporated villages would share under the amendment, whereas such large townships, which in many cases furnish as many or more services, would be left out entirely, it appeared to me wholly inequitable that the townships should no longer continue receiving sales tax monies. It being my belief that the amendment could not be knocked out entirely in the Senate, and it was so proved on the vote, I therefore went along with an amendment which proposed to still allow the townships to receive the monies that they had been receiving in the past, provided that they had spent money received within a certain period of time. It now appears that the amendment has been completely killed in the House, and that townships will continue to receive monies on the same basis as in the past.
Well, now, gentlemen, before we go off the air, I would like to have a word from both of you about your experience as state senators. I think that both of you gentlemen are freshmen in the legislature. How have you enjoyed your experience, Senator Morris?
It has been very educational, Doctor, to say the least. So far, I have not been too dissatisfied in any of the legislation that has been passed, and I believe I can say that I have learned the main ropes for securing passage of my own legislation. I might say that I was very satisfied with my own committee appointments, which included not only the chairmanship of the Veterans and Military Affairs Committee, as has been indicated, but also membership on the Judiciary and Taxation Committees.
And Senator Coleman?
Very much. And I do wish to say that I was very pleasantly surprised at the high caliber of most of the men which I found when I reached the Senate. I had been led to believe that that might not be the case. I also enjoy very much my committee assignments on finance and appropriations and on labor.
Thank you very much, Senator Morris and Senator Coleman, for giving us your views on state affairs.
You have been listening to The Lawmakers, the program that brings you each week a report from Lansing or from Washington by the men who make your laws. Our guests on this 7th transcribed broadcast in the series were State Senators Carlton Morris of Kalamazoo and Creighton Coleman of Marshall. Next week, we will bring to our microphone 2 other lawmakers to share with our radio audience their views on public policy. This has been another of the many programs presented in the public interest by the Fetzer Broadcasting Company.